Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignments from over the weekend. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. As you sit with what freedom from suffering looks like for you, with beginning, allow to arise in conscious, compassionate awareness a way to train to be free from suffering with beginning. Assignment. Make a commitment that embodies your training focus. This will be your daily practice for the next 7 days. Remember, as awareness practitioners, our practice of commitments is not about achieving a content goal. We're always training to pay attention. Example, I realize that attention is on overwhelm, which prevents me from being excited about starting something. I want to be present to beginnings. My commitment is to practice excitement. I will greet the day with wonder, make a recording of excitement before I commence any task, and end the day with a recording of my anticipation of whatever life is going to unfold now. And on Saturday, beginning today, your daily practice will be to practice your commitment and record what you notice at the end of the day. And on Sunday, do your daily practice whether you feel like it or not. Practice ignoring any voice of resistance, especially I don't want to, I don't feel like it. Remember, we're no longer practicing not keeping commitments. We're training to be free of the conditioning that stops us from being here keeping our commitments. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello.
Hello. Who's this?
This is June.
Hello, June. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm completely surprised. But what I am seeing is that it's no big surprise. I am seeing that. I don't want to. I don't feel like it runs my life if I give it any room whatsoever. And in doing this assignment, I see this stay-at-home order as just a remarkable opportunity to get free of that, or freer of that. Mm-hmm. And, if I don't do it, if I don't turn my attention to it and make it a huge priority, then I am just turning my back on practice.
Yes, well, and more significantly, turning your back on the human being who is trapped in a life that she actually doesn't want.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
So two things about it. One, the stakes are really high, right? Which, again, they always are, but it takes, for most of us, it takes something extraordinary to get us to actually accept that. And these are extraordinary circumstances. And ego goes right along as it always has. And so we get a chance to see it with greater clarity, and seeing it with greater clarity ups our chances of not just going unconscious and going along with it. So, yes, taking advantage of this time. And every time, you know, with something like I don't want to, I don't feel like it, it's a wonderful gift for us, because it's really straightforward. You know, if we just If we just put behind us the all of the times that we specifically hear that, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, we would be way ahead of the game. Then the subtle ones of, oh, I'll do it later, or, yeah, not right now. Whatever the subtle ones are, the more subtle ones, they'll rise to the surface, right? Because we've eliminated the two major weapons of ego. I don't want to, and I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's pretty clear that that's the biggest obstacle in my practice.
And yes, the biggest cause of suffering.
If I don't face it during this time, when am I going to face it? When will I ever?
That's right. Well, ego is counting on the answer to that being never. But it sounds like you have some pretty strong determination and commitment that it's going to be now. And since now is the only time anything ever happens, you're really the energy, the weight of the energy is on your side.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, June.
Thank you.
Thanks, June. Sherry, it seems to be one of the universal, I suppose, or prevalent way in which we're stopped. Because the focus of the attention becomes on what I don't want to do and what I don't feel like doing. It never gets, and this is why we're saying, remember, we don't practice not keeping commitments. Because what we're training to do is every time I hear that, I do what it is that I'm committed to doing regardless of how I feel. And that's the training process, that instead of the voice talking me out of doing something, I'm focused on hearing the voice and then doing it anyway. And unless I do that, unless I train that way, I'm never going to be able to not be talked out of something because the voice tells me not to do that or to do that, right?
So I hear the voice that says, I don't feel like flossing my teeth. Oh, good. Well, now I know what to do.
we start to realize that it doesn't have to dictate what we do. The fact that it's there, it means that it's simply there. It doesn't actually have anything to do with whether or not I do something.
Doesn't have because anything to do with us, right?
Right. We could override, we override so many things. We override life. Why can't we override conditioned mind?
Right. Well, and we can. I'm hoping people are proving to themselves in great numbers.
Yes. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Monica. Hi, Sherry.
Hello,
Hi,
Monica.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Monica.
I just am super grateful for practice, and I was thinking, listening to the last, this really is, for me, what we practice for, and just having, I'm just so grateful that I have some practice tools behind me in this time, and with everything shifting and the ultimate beginning. And I had this remarkable thing happen on my way to work the other day. I had the craziest day ever on Thursday, and on the way to work on Friday, I think it was the first time, but I just wasn't even, I was driving, so I wasn't even recording, but just outside, I was out loud, I was asked a mentor for help. I'm like, I really need help right now. Mentor, where are you? I need your help. And it was so instant. The response and the comforting was so instant, and just what came up was just this idea of everybody has a unique role to play, and we're all playing it. And I think the ego conversation for me a lot has been like, what is my role and what am I doing and am I contributing and what, you know, how can I contribute and how can I, you know, be helping
in addition, to just showing up, right?
Yeah. That, like ego,
right?
Has
that's
to go.
The, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It wants to know what role I'm playing and how useful it is. And what the mentor was voice was that you don't need to know. you just are participating and you are showing up and you are contributing because everybody is, not because of whatever content is at play.
So, Monica, let me ask you this. You are one of the, what we call, on the front line people at this point, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So just to get clear about that.
Right. Well, here, just a little content background. So I got pulled out of, I work for the city, and so I'm a disaster service worker, so they can just pull you wherever they need you. And they pulled me out of patient care into the command center. So it's like this super interesting thing that I won't bore everybody with. But, you know, like I'm not directly facing patients anymore. I'm in this case investigation team. And so there was this huge adjustment to that and then, like, conversation about what's useful and then watching. Like, the reason why I said about beginning is because this is like watching these big wigs try to figure out the process and the response team. This is basically the response team, and it is like astonishing.
Terrifying.
The way that it's terrifying the way that people are reacting and getting caught up in, you know, fear and what's happening and trying to respond and basically put out fires. And I spent the day Thursday basically getting caught up in that and being like, this is not the way, like, where is Sherry and Ashwini? Somebody needs to be like
we need a grown up.
The brakes up. We need a grown up because these are very, you know, smart, competent, capable, educated people, but they're still just,
yeah.
I don't know. It was so crazy. And I thought about you guys so much and I was just like,
well, Monica, I hope that what you're seeing in this, and I'm really glad that the mentor was there in the car with you on the way into this, but I hope what you're seeing in this is the possibility that that's exactly why you're there.
Yeah, because what it was like, I'm not smart enough, you know, like, oh, these people are so smart, but there was all that kind of, you know, self-hate,
yeah.
And then I was like, just being present is what we all need right now, and that is the best
yes.
job.
Yes.
If I just go to work and be present, even if I make
that's
mistakes,
right.
or even if I'm not smart, or even if I, it.
Oh,
is what
Monica, Monica, take this one with you, okay? If you're smart enough to know that the best thing we can ever do in any situation is be present, I'm going to vote for you as probably the smartest person in the building.
Well, Sherry, I think that was like, it was just like really embodying, like, that is, I mean, we always say that and I believe that a lot of the time, but it was never so apparent
that
was what is going to get us through this in every single moment, like not just at work,
yes.
but just wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, if I can just, you know, thank God that I have practice behind me and I can see that and
yes.
I can bring that
yes.
if I
yes.
keep focusing on that.
And that's right. And it's what we were just talking about with June, right? The stakes are really high. There's no time to wander off and indulge voices that say, well, you're not really smart enough, or why are you here, or this is not meaningful, or what are you con-? You don't have time for that because that
right.
takes you out of the present. Right? And we just, this is one of those times, we just can't indulge that. Lives are on the line. We cannot indulge that nonsense.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
Well, go get them. Go get them.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
Oh,
thanks,
thank you.
Monica. Sherry, there's two things that I saw about that. I mean, one, we always say this, right? The most powerful person in the room is the most present person in the room, or something
that's
to
right.
that effect.
The one that can, the yeah, that's right. The person who is aware has the most power.
Yeah. Well, and it's something that I've been looking at all morning, actually, because of a whole bunch of things. And how much the conditioned process through that questioning, through that doubting of your worth, denies your presence in the situation, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That you're here. You're the one who's here, not just geographically or localization-wise, but in terms of being able to listen to life.
Yes.
And so that whole process of, well, you're not smart enough, or you're not the right person, or should you say something, or this belongs to someone else, it's someone else's responsibility, is the same process of negation that conditioning always does. It's a denial of the fact that you're here, a fully qualified node of intelligence, able to contribute in ways that those who are not here are not able to.
Yes. And The thing that we see over and over and over is that when people are hysterical, they even in their hysteria, they can sense someone who isn't.
Yes.
And that person becomes a centering opportunity, right?
Yes.
Now, does it mean that they won't still go crazy and make really bad decisions? And yeah, but that's not up to Monica.
Mm-hmm.
Right? All Monica can do is be that presence that gives people an alternative to hysteria, to ego hysteria.
Yeah, and perhaps even in that wonderfully facilitative way to facilitate a situation in which she's got clarity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to go into this, but I just as a reminder, okay, for everybody who followed or has heard me go on about this or saw the movie, apparently, about the airline pilot, Sully, who landed the plane in the Hudson River.
Yeah.
He was a perfect example of following, being present and following the guidance of life, rather than conditioned mind and rules, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even through the event, people wanted to punish him for not following the rules.
Mm.
But he was courageous enough to go, to be present and go with life's guidance. That's what we're going for. And I'm not saying that Monica should, you know, take over the Oakland City disaster, whatever it is, I'm not saying that, but it's just such a good, clear example of what is possible for us when we're present, as compared to when we're looking to conditioned mind and all of its crapola to guide us.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's terrifying.
Yes, absolutely. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Alice. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Alice.
Oh, well, that's good. That's
yep.
great
what
news.
Are you seeing?
I don't. What am I seeing?
Mm-hmm.
New beginnings. I'm loving it, Terry and Ashwini and Ol and Sanger. It's really new beginnings. I'm out of town with relatives in a completely new beginning. I'm shielding.
Mm.
And I have just got myself a new recorder because the others got left behind. And I've spent the morning chatting to somebody at Sony who's managed to help me make it work. And they loved what I said about... I had to say thank you somehow. I got the support from Cairo, Egypt.
Oh, my goodness.
And
wow, lovely.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I just said... I want to say thank you, and I'm going to use this for my favorite book, What Universe Are You Creating? And I laughed and said, oh, it's me that's creating it, is it? I love it. I just love it.
You were in good hands, weren't you?
I just love it. And my thank you present to her I hope it's okay. I sent her my favorite page on gratitude. I just love it. And she said how much she liked what I said, and I said, the book I love is What Universe Are You Creating? And you can get it on Amazon. She said she was getting it. And it's the first time I've ever said that. I've always stayed quiet because you stay quiet right. about it. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy about
Well,
we're
that. Trained to.
We are.
Anything that supports ego, we're trained to shout from the rooftops. But if it's anything that is not, then we need to stay quiet. Yeah.
There's one other thing I'm really seeing that I love. I'm trying to train myself that I'm aware of. It's not like or hate. That doesn't work. It's what I'm aware of and what I'm thankful for. Something came to my attention last week. It's a quote. A friend of mine quoted from, she's a drawer, she's an artist, and she said, she quoted from James, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. And I had this view of God sitting on the sofa whilst I'm drawing cartoons and sitting and, I don't know, it made me smile. And just later on in the quote, it says, this is where I think it's key, because I'm hearing June say earlier just today about opportunity. And it's just dropping into me that the bit that comes later in James, it says, humble yourself before the Lord and you will be exalted. And what does it mean? That's the only quote I know. I don't know anything more from the Bible. Thing is, I get blank paperitis, artist's block, and it feels just like what I was hearing people saying earlier in this conversation about, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. And when we humble ourselves and say, well, I don't know, I don't know, I'll just give it a try. If you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And I thought, I'll do a doodle instead of a drawing. And for decades of blank paperitis fell away, and a beautiful drawing came out of nowhere. I can't believe it. It was such a gift. I've got to go quiet now. It was such a gift. I think it's saying the same thing.
Yes, Alice, it's what Monica was talking about. Right?
Yes.
Mentor, I really need you.
Yes.
Where are you? And there's the mentor just right there in the passenger seat, buckling up, and although probably already buckled in because the mentor was already there. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you
this is
so
such
much
a gem.
For that.
I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Thank you all. Take care of yourself, okay?
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alice. It looks like we have time for one more caller, Sherry, so here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lori in the Bay Area.
Hello, Lori. What are you seeing?
I'm grateful to be on and to be hearing all of you.
Happy to be here.
With. Yes, exactly.
Yes. Me too.
Let's see. I am seeing it's like a continuation from last year. The same bottom line always shows up. And it shows up more quickly. It showed up more quickly this time at the very beginning about the belief that people hate me and I'm helpless to protect myself from them. And but for the first, maybe the first time, I actually have the experiential feeling of, so what I'm saying every morning is, life is adequate to life, and therefore I'm adequate to anything that life moves me to do in this day. Mm-hmm. And it feels more, it feels more experiential than just something I'm saying in my head.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's precisely how it works. I can't remember where we were talking about this. Maybe somewhere, maybe yesterday, as a matter of fact. That process. Group last night at Center. Maybe you were there. That process of seeing something, and getting it, having that. And then it kind of goes away, and then you keep paying attention, you keep practicing, and you see it again at a deeper level. Well, you've been practicing with this pretty darn diligently, let's face it, for a while now, and so of course you're experiencing it at a deeper level.
And it's not as always when I work with it, it's more, well, yes, I know I'm supposed to say that, life is equal and we're all equal and all that. And yet the belief was always, but really, I am helpless.
But what's really true?
They are, yeah. I mean, let's look at the evidence. The evidence is people, you know, but then she picks evidence from when I was a year old.
Right. Well, exactly. And you know, Lori, what you do know is ego hates you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And of course, if we let it, then that's what it's going to pick out. Oh, I meant to do this yesterday. I told this, Winnie, I meant to do this yesterday. You've given me a perfect opportunity. Please tune in to the workshop we're going to do on Saturday the 18th.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Please tune into that. All right. So, So egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate hates you in the sense that it you feeling hated is what serves it. And so it's happy to keep telling you that you're hated because you will keep feeling bad, and that's what serves ego. Right, so it's a passive it's not that it actively hates Lori, it just doesn't care,
exactly.
Right? Because what the only thing that matters is that she is a meal for it whenever it needs a meal.
And the other thing that was helpful, I have to say, was yesterday you and Ashwini were talking about karma having two, like, themes that, or I might have been listening to an old show, actually, that there's a general theme of separation, and then there's how it uniquely expresses for each of us. And
yes.
It was helpful, just like, well, people hate me. There's a perfect separation, perfect way of keeping
my
me separate.
God. Oh, yeah, kind of ultimate. Because it's people. It's not he hates me or she hates me, right? It's people.
Yeah. I'm okay as long as I'm separate from people. The trees don't hate me, which has always been a refuge, but if
the voice in your head does.
Yeah. And it's hard to live in the world and not be anywhere around people.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. And, of course, what it's really doing to you, as you know, is depriving you of love.
Yeah.
Gosh, there's a lot of background noise. I'm sorry about that, Lori.
Okay. It's quiet here. I don't think it's from here.
Yeah. So that's what it's really doing. That's what that separation is really designed for. It separates us from love, and it leaves us in a hateful environment where somebody uses us like a, I don't know, just to take advantage of. It's kind of this is an awful image, but it's true. It's like being a sex slave.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that, as a matter of fact, right? Mm-hmm. Tied to a bed somewhere for somebody to use and abuse in whatever way they choose to whenever they want to do it. That's what it's like to live our lives subjected to egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
And I appreciate the awful image because that's exactly how it feels.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I'm glad it has so much less grip on you. And it's just that grip is going to keep loosening as you keep practicing, which I know you will.
And
so
from your lips to God's ears, as we say.
That's right. That's
something
how it works.
Like that. Something like that.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Lori.
Bye-bye.
And, Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show. Assignment for today, Do your daily practice. Be on the lookout for any subtle messages of self-hate. Use any negative message or experience of feeling bad as a reminder to redirect attention to what is true. Remember, we're practicing being what we are. We're not practicing being what we're not. Goes so well to what we were just talking about with Laurie. We're not.
Doesn't it? That's perfect.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks, well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thanks, everybody. And go happy.